Whoa, man. All right. Thanks. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about what the legislature did and traffic safety update. Everybody hear me okay? All right. If you can't hear me, let me know. I want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to stay awake anyway. How many of you are from the city of El Paso? How many we got? Okay, great. I recognize some of you, and some faces change, so... I'm glad to be here. If you have questions as we go through, feel free to raise your hand, and I'll be happy to try to answer those questions. If not, Judge Ramsey's up here on the front. I think he's taught this in the past, so he will help me answer those questions as well. So as we go through, I promise I will be on time when we finish, because I have a plane to catch, so that's always a good incentive. But as we go through, if you have questions, let me know. Okay? Y'all are awfully quiet already, okay? All right. We now have, okay, Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. This is a new agency, House Bill, and when you see where I say House Bill or HB, that's House Bill. How many of you know anything about the legislature? How many don't know anything? You don't want to admit it, but... Okay, let's talk a little bit about the legislature first, because we're going to talk about all new bills. And I don't think you talked about this in the last hour. Legislature in Texas, whether you, and this may be, a lot of you may already know this, but if you don't, that's fine. The Texas legislature meets every 2 years, okay, in odd-numbered years. So in 2011, we'll be going back into another session. So everything that we're going to talk about this morning was actually passed in 2009. Now, the legislature meets for 140 days, starts about January 7th or 8th. I don't remember the exact date we start next year, but that's about when it starts. So it runs for 140 days, runs up close to Memorial Day, and in that time period, then that's where everything is passed that becomes law. The last legislative session, we had over 7,000 bills filed, and I personally looked at every one of them. Do you believe that? Okay, I did not, okay. But there was over 7,000 bills filed, and I assure you, I didn't look at all of them. I didn't look at all of them at all. But somebody on the TMCEC staff or somebody on TMCA looks at every bill, or at least looks at the caption to make sure that it will or will not affect us as municipal court judges. And so we go through all those bills, and the TMCA tries to become involved in some bad bills and stop them, and we promote some bills. But most of what we spend our time down there is stopping bad bills. And what I get to talk about today is probably all the stuff we weren't able to stop. Okay? So we will talk about all that. But that's kind of the way the legislature works. With all that said, as I indicated, we go back into session, or legislature goes back into session in January, first part of January of 2011, so if you have concerns or whatever, you need to talk to your TMCA representative who's sitting here in the room. Okay, that would be Odell Holmes, who is your TMCA regional representative for this area, if you're from the West Texas area. Or there's a TMCA table out here where, if you're not a member, we'd love for you to join. And there'll be a hospitality tonight at 5:30, runs till all the booze is gone, or the beer and wine's gone, probably 7 or 7:30, and I am told it's in 529A. So if you don't write anything else down that I have said or will say, it's 529A for the hospitality room. Okay? And if you're from El Paso, please drink responsibly before you go get in your car and drive. All right? So I've said my disclosure, so we're okay. But anyway, if you have questions about TMCA, ask Odell. You can catch me. I'll be happy to answer them. Or there's a table out here where you can join and get a luggage tag and some stuff like that. Okay. Now, so with all that said, I'll back up and we'll go back to House Bill. And like I say, you'll see HB. You'll also see SB, Senate Bill. Okay. HB 3097 creates the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. They basically split it off from the Texas Department of Transportation. Used to, we had one agency, now we have two agencies. So we have the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. It transferred the authority to registering and titling of vehicles. So you will see some changes along those lines over the next few years. Okay? Very exciting, huh? This is what you came to see. All right. Registration of vehicles. Municipalities, here, so you have a fill in the blanks. All right, isn't this fun? Municipalities can register recreational off-highway vehicles for operation on a highway or public or private beach to maintain what and what? What do you think it is? There we go. Maintain public safety and the general welfare. Sounds like it ought to be in the Constitution or something, doesn't it? Okay. Okay. Now, the other thing is, are you in a city where you used to register golf carts? Okay. If you are in a municipality and you were registering golf carts, you can no longer do that. Okay. So no more municipal registration of golf carts. So if they file that kind of case, failed to do it, you got an out now. There's no more registration of that. All right. Driver's licenses. This one kind of surprised me. New residents have how many days to obtain a Texas driver's license? What do you think? I hear 30. I hear 90. I hear, anybody want to say 60? Somebody will say 60, of course. How about 38 days? Nobody's going to buy on that one. Okay. Well, it's actually 90 days, okay? They now have 90 days, which I think that's a pretty good amount of days. I guess they have 90 days. It's kind of that. Want a Chrysler now, you can return your car within 60 days or if you don't like it or something. I guess so. If you move to Texas, you got 90 days to decide whether you're going to stay or not. So anyway, it's 90 days now. And persons under 21 must take what? What do you think? If they need a driver's license, they have to do what? A driver's education course. Now, when I first heard this, I thought, oh my gosh, that's not going to happen, because schools generally, what, don't give driver's education courses anymore. Back when I went to school, okay, and I'm old, I mean, it was a semester. I mean, we did a whole semester in high school and drove and did all this stuff, so it was a long course. And so when I heard this, I thought, oh my gosh, that's a lot of hours. But it's about a six-hour course, okay? So in 6 hours, you can learn to drive, I think, is what they're saying. So it's a short course now, but everybody under 21 has to take it. Okay. All right, is there a waiver of driving test for anyone under 18? No. If you will recall, prior to this last session, and how many of you had kids, and how did they get their driver's license? And did you have to do something to help them get their driver's license? What'd you do? Yeah. Well, you basically, you sign a form saying that you've ridden with them and they know how to drive. And so they didn't have to take, what, no driving test. So basically we allowed the parents to kind of throw themselves under the bus, I guess, but say, my kid can drive. Well, no longer can the parents make that determination. They now have to take a driving test if they're under 18. Okay. This is what you came here for. This is exciting stuff, isn't it? All right. Okay, applicants for a Class M license or endorsement must take what? Well, let's back up. What's a Class M license? Motorcycle, okay? We all know that. They have to take a motorcycle operator training course, okay? So anybody now that has a Class M license or wants to get a Class M has to take a training course. And this is not just under 18 or anything like that. Everybody has to. Okay, how many of you have a motorcycle endorsement? Handful of it. Keep it. All right. So if you give it up and then you want it back, you're going to have to take a course. So pay the extra $2 or whatever it is to keep it. All right. Okay, driver education or driver safety. And driver education, the course we were talking about a while ago, and a driving safety course, they both now have to have components relating to the effect of using blank or engaging other distracting behavior and information related to blank. Anybody want to guess what the blanks are? Somebody said cell phones? Okay. Cell phones is right. Using cell phones. Okay. I think texting kind of jumps in the, we'll just say that's part of the cell phones. What did we just talk about? Motorcycles. Okay. They now have to have information related to motorcycles. What is the, well, we'll say in the 2000s, okay, between 2000 and 2010, what was the fastest growing group of people that were killed on the highways? Fastest growing group that were killed on the highway. You want to guess? Baby boomers is correct. That's. It was middle-aged males on motorcycles. Middle-aged males on motorcycles was the fastest growing group of that died in the 2000s. Now it has, I think it's leveling a little bit now because what? Yeah, they're already dead, I think. That's probably right. They're already killed. But basically now the economy has kind of hurt motorcycle sales, and so it's leveled off a little bit. I like his answer better, actually. So, but nevertheless, we still now, these components have to be in driver's training now. Okay, driving while license invalid. Okay, let's talk about, you know, we got a couple years ago now, we got driving while license invalid, so we have DWLI. This is enhancements, DWLI and what? Coupled with what? So if somebody is driving with an invalid license, it is failure to maintain financial responsibility. No insurance. It can be filed as a Class B. Now, how many of you in your courts see this? They actually do enhance it and go on and send it on up? Great. Fantastic. I think I get two cases. I get a driver's license invalid and I get a no insurance. But they can enhance it to a Class B. If there's a crash resulting in serious injury or death, it becomes a Class A. Okay. That assumes that your police department does it. Okay, rules of the road. Let's talk about transportation code a little bit. Yes, sir. Is that if they're not at fault? You mean the? I think they're supposed to be. I think the idea is that they're at fault. Okay. All right, new penalties if there's a, and this one, I don't know, we can talk about this a little bit. New penalties, it's a failed yield right-of-way crash, okay, and a person suffers what? Bodily injury, then it raises the fine to $500 to $2,000. Okay, now this is only, okay, let's go ahead and talk about, if it's serious bodily injury, the fine goes from $1,000 to $4,000. Who has jurisdiction over this? You do, okay? Because it's a fine-only offense. So we still have jurisdiction over this. All right? So the big problem is when it gets filed, how are they designating it to where the people have bodily injury? Now, this is your question again. What if it's bodily injury to the person that causes the crash? It has to be bodily injury to the person that did not cause the crash. Right. Well, they're at fault, but it's who has the bodily injury. The bodily injury has to be the non-fault person for you to enhance the penalty. You don't get a raised fine for hurting yourself. You can hurt yourself. Okay. So it's supposed to be the other person. Okay. The big trick is how do you know whether or not they've got bodily injury or serious bodily injury? How many are seeing these cases? One of you. Two of three of you? Or maybe some of you are just scratching. Maybe one. Okay. It has caused kind of a problem. I'll tell you, in Midland, we have a designation on the tickets where they'll check off major accident, minor accident, major accident, meaning bodily injury. And so every case that comes in where it says major accident, then when it gets the complaint gets drawn and everything, then it bumps it up to this failed to yield right away, and it raises the fine. So then they have to pull the report and determine who's injured and all that stuff. So we're actually doing it, but we're probably one of the only courts in the state that's doing it currently. All right, and this is only here. The other strange thing: this is only for failed to yield right away. So it's not red lights, not running a red light, running a stop sign, or anything else. It's only failed-to-yield right-of-way cases. So it has to fit into that failed-to-yield right-of-way statute. Now, will the legislature come in and add stoplights and stuff like that? They may very well do that. But right now, it is simply failed-to-yield right-of-way. Does that seem kind of odd? Yeah. Yeah, you could, if you did run in a stoplight, you could have it refiled as failed to yield right away while facing a signal or whatever. Yeah. Yes, Glenn. You know, I don't know where this one came. This one slipped by us, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see it. This one we didn't discover till after it was over. What happens a lot of times, and get kind of, we didn't spend a lot of time in the Transportation Committee this last time, and maybe because we just didn't. We had other things, I guess, that we were watching. But I'm not sure who sponsored this one. I couldn't tell you. But we need to find out and keep an eye on them next time, because I suspect they're going to expand it a little bit. Okay. Yes? Do I have one? I'm sorry? Do we have electronic tickets in Midland? Yes. Brazos. Yeah. Okay. The question is who we use for electronic tickets, and have we had trouble? We have not, because the court spent a lot of time drawing the ticket, making sure that certain fields were required. So when they have an accident, I think it's required to check the box minor or major, or they can't write the ticket. Yeah, we have ENCODE, and it seems to be working okay. I'm not endorsing ENCODE, Brazos, or any other group, but yes, it seems to be working okay. Have had problems? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. How do you determine what's bodily injury and serious bodily injury? Yeah, it's in the penal code. It has definitions in the penal code. Yeah, I think. Yeah, one is just pain, is like considered pain, and the other is a loss of function of some kind. But you need to look in the penal code to make that final determination. Okay. Child passenger safety seat systems. All right. They have changed it again. Okay. And what is it now? We have increased the age limit to under what? 8 years. Or if they're 4'9" or taller. Okay. Now, I have not seen any officers yet. They're carrying, they used to could carry a yardstick, I think it was 36 inches on something, but now they have to carry a measuring tape of some kind. But anyway, 8 years or 4'9" or taller. And the fine amount now is reduced from 100 to 200 to not more than what? Well, that's right. It was 100 to 200 and not more than, and you just answered that, not more than 25. No, you're doing great. Thanks. Not more than 25 on the first or 250 on the subsequent. And who gets the money? State. Okay. And we have now a court cost. New court cost, 15-cent court cost on every conviction in the section. Okay. I don't know. We also have a 10-cent for transportation code. Moving violations. Okay. Now, we had there was a tricky deal about effective date versus enforcement date, but that passed on June the 1st, so we don't really have to worry about that. This is the new law now, is this one right here. What happened is they more or less you could claim that they repealed the old law, but said this one didn't go into effect till June 1. So we kind of had a period of time there where we were kind of in limbo on whether or not they could charge them with having a child in a safety seat. But it's all immaterial now, and June 1st it went into effect. If you have old cases before June 1 that are still coming before you, then you need to kind of look at that. Okay. Is there anything about the direction that the child faces in the seat? Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. Not that I'm aware of. The state has not been, not that I know of. I'll say that. Okay. All right, safety belts. Blank occupants of vehicle must be in a safety belt. There we go. All occupants of a vehicle must be in a safety belt. For adults, no longer just those in the front seat. So if you ride in the back seat of a car now, you have to wear a safety belt. Okay. No matter where you are in the car. Did I skip something? Oh, I don't want to do that. Let me look here. Let me look and see. Where is it on your page? Page two, effective. Booster aid children. Oh, okay. It was June 1st. I'm sorry. That was what I was mentioning a while ago. June 1st, 2010. I'm sorry. I probably confused you. It went in effect on June 1st, 2010. Oh, booster age is 8. All right, new offense for an operator of a passenger van to allow a child under 17 to ride not secured in a safety belt. Okay, was that necessary? No, because everybody in the car or in the vehicle, including a passenger van, has to be in a safety belt. So the operator could always be charged with having somebody under 17 without a safety belt. Yes, sir. I'd need to look at it specifically, but I think now if you get in the van out here to go to the airport, I think you're supposed to wear your safety belt in the back seat, even if it's run by a private bunch. I'm sorry, you're going to have to. Okay, public transportation's the only place. City bus, that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. People in the back of a pickup. That was heavily debated, not this session, but I think the session before or two sessions back. And the way the law is on that is they can't go over 30 miles an hour. And they have to stay seated in the back. Okay. I don't recall an age on it, but what's the age? 18? I don't think there's a minimum age on it. I think you can maybe throw the babies in the back. It's just a joke. I mean, you know. Okay, they have a handout. Okay, well, I was wondering, I thought I was being set up over here. You know, you got the question and the answer over here, so I think I'm being set up. So I knew that wasn't part of my presentation. So, all right, what's wrong with this picture? Now, I know there's a lot of things that are wrong, probably, but we're going to talk about something in specific here. There is a child right here. All right, I don't know if you can. Sometimes when we do this presentation, this isn't broad enough to see, but you can see there's a child wedged in here. All right. Motorcyclist is prohibited from carrying a child under blank on a motorcycle. Can't carry him at all, period. That's it. What age? 5. Okay, 5 years of age. So when you go back to here, I'd say this child probably is under 5. You can even see him. All right. And if this happens, there's a fine of not less than what? $100 and not more than $200. This is one of three new offenses this year. Now, if you have a sidecar, you can put a child under 5 in a sidecar. How many of you have sidecars? All right. Yes. I don't think it says. It's not a passenger vehicle, so I would say probably that it would probably be a good idea, but I don't know that there's a law that says they have to be restrained. An exception for law enforcement can have a 5-year-old? Okay. Judge Ramsey's told me that there is an exception for law enforcement. So if you're law enforcement, I guess in active duty, I mean, rushing to a fire, that would be a good time to have the 3-year-old with you on the deal. Anyway. But if you now, this will probably spur sidecar sales. All right. Cell phone laws. Persons under 18, okay, may not operate a vehicle while using a wireless communication device except in the case of an emergency. Persons under 18. Now, this is another one of the three new ones. Under 18 may not operate a vehicle while using a wireless communication device. Wireless communication device means a handheld or hands-free device. So, if you're under 18, they're not supposed to be using even a Bluetooth and talking on the phone. If they're under 18, they are not supposed to be talking on a cell phone at all, even using a Bluetooth. Even using a Bluetooth. They cannot use a Bluetooth, period. Not supposed to be talking on the phone. Or texting. Now, there's also restricted driving for the first 12 months of licensure, okay, saying they can't do that. So basically, where this comes in, I guess, is if they don't get their license till like 17, it's also going to apply up through the first 12 months. Yes? Back to the seatbelt. That's fine. Oh, don't look back. All right, go ahead. Okay. Okay, right? Yes. 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 Okay. The question is the driver, what's the driver's exposure is, now you probably got me confused. Actually, it's if you're transporting a child, the fine is 25 to 50. The actual child isn't the one getting that ticket. It's going to be the actual driver of the vehicle. Well, that's if they're it's going to be 1 to 200 if they're over that 8-year threshold. Yes, then the driver could get up to right. Okay. Right. And it goes to the state, so you really don't have any incentive. So, okay. All right, she scared me. I thought she was going to come up with something I didn't have a hope to answer. But all right. Cell phone laws. Operator may not use a wireless communication device while operating a motor vehicle within a blank. School zone. So that's right. Now, let's talk about school zone. It says school crossing zone, but it's been kind of interpreted but to be basically within the school zone. That's considered the school crossing zone. Now, it also has to be posted, okay? It absolutely has to be posted. So the school zone has to be posted, and it says cell phone use prohibited, whatever. It has specific language that has to be on the sign, and it has to be posted. If it's not posted, then there's no offense. Yes, sir? That would not apply to somebody under 18, because they're just basically, they can't talk on it anywhere, school zone or not. Okay? Was that your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I would do, but let me see what y'all. Sure. Oh, I understand. That's why we're here. I think we're all. I mean, I don't think there's any debate. If somebody's talking on the phone, we all agree that that's use of a wireless communication device, right? How many would include also texting? Okay. What about checking your email? Sure. Okay. And that's my feeling as well. I think it's virtually any way you can use that wireless communication device, whether you're checking the web or whatever you're doing. Sure. Yeah, and I think that's that at current does not fall under the would not fall under it. If you were using your iPhone, iPod, or whatever to look for a song, you're not, as Judge Ramsey says, you're not really, that's not that part of the communication device. But it's just as dangerous. I agree. But so is changing the. I can't tell you how many friends I had that got in wrecks changing the cassette tape. Back when we had cassette tapes, all right, in their deal, they'd run into a parked car or whatever, messing with the radio. Yeah. So, but I does that help you at all? Sort of. I mean, I think it's. That's right. So I think you got it's just a proof problem. I mean, you know, what did the officer see, and what can they prove? Well, I'm not going that far, but some might. I mean, I think it's a judgment call. Yeah, a lot of it's a proof problem, and I've had some judges tell me their cities are not putting up the school crossing zone deal because they don't think it can be proved, so they just don't want to hassle with it. Yeah, somebody had a question. Yes. I'm sorry? My city is doing this. Yeah, we do have a school. Yeah. Right. Right. Yes. Oh, 1 second. Yes.
Has DPS already coded this violation because they didn't have a code for it?
Oh, this is great news. Has DPS coded this violation? And the answer is yes. We got a new list last week, Thursday or Friday, or maybe Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday. We have a new list of offenses, moving violation offenses. So, oh, well, of course not. The question is it going to be sent? No. No, I'm just kidding you. I would probably be proactive and go online and get it. You can get it. It's in the Texas administrative code. And you can call the education center. They can give you the site. I didn't bring it today. Yeah, there's been a couple of emails that have gone out. If you subscribe to my newsletter, you'll get it. There's my advertisement for the day. Yes?
What if you don't have a school crossing, you have a school zone?
It's generally been interpreted to be a school zone. That's considered the school crossing zone. So wherever that school zone starts and ends. Right. No, it's been considered to be the whole zone. Okay. Yes? Every place. All right. In El Paso. Okay. You got a question? This is when you hope they have a jury so that you can let the jury make that determination, kind of give you some guidance, I guess. Okay. Minimum fine is, and there's the sign. I was thinking it was on here. Cell phone use prohibited, up to $200 fine. This is what your sign should look like. It's $1 to $200 fine. Okay. All right. These don't know. These don't make a lot of sense to me, but and I'm not trying to be insensitive. So we'll. You have a question? Yes. It is a moving violation. It was determined to be a moving violation as of last week. Went into effect July the 11th, I think, is the day it went into effect. All right. Now, this one's, I find it a little odd, but we'll talk about it. Penalties for pedestrian injury. If an offense results in a serious bodily injury or death to a blind or disabled person. Now, first they have to be a pedestrian, and then they have to be either blind or disabled. Okay? There's a new penalty, and now the penalty is a maximum fine of $500 and 30 hours of community service. Now, to me, this almost means that you've raised the fine and you've added this community service because you intentionally hit somebody that was blind or disabled. I mean, anytime you hit a pedestrian, it's not a good situation, but it's like, watch out, don't hit the guy with the white cane, all right? And I'm not trying to be insensitive, it just seemed a little odd that they would come up with that. There's also a new offense that we didn't include in here, but while we're at this particular point, and that is a white cane offense, and that is, it is illegal now for anybody, you cannot be seen on the street with a white cane unless you are blind. You cannot be, well, it's an offense to be on the street or to be on a sidewalk if you have a white cane. If you are blind, it's okay. You can have a white cane. But if you are not blind and you have a white cane, it's an offense. So you can't pretend to be blind, I guess is what they're saying. Okay. All right, I didn't make it up. I couldn't possibly make that kind of stuff up. All right. All right, but... That's it. Failure to maintain financial responsibility-related laws. House Bill 586 requires a court to allow a defendant to show evidence of financial responsibility in 6-month period to get a car released from impoundment. Now, this is where you've got, a second offense, where they've impounded the car, and they're supposed to bring proof back to the judge. How many of you actually do these cases? 1, 2, 3, a few of you. Okay. Basically, they impound the car. They're supposed to show you that they have, and I think it used to say you had to buy 2 years of insurance or something like that. So they had to come in and show you 2 years worth of insurance, which I don't think I could even afford to buy 2 years worth of insurance. What's that now? I doubt they'll even sell it to you. But anyway, now you can do it in 6 months period. So now they bring in a 6-month period policy. You let them out of the pound, and then they drive to their insurance agent and get their refund. I'm just kidding. When's the court get involved? And a second offense, it's supposed to be. Yeah, when the car's been seized. Most of you don't do these. And I'm just kidding about them going to get their refund, but they probably are. Yeah, yeah. Right. But very few courts are doing it. I agree with you. I know what it says. All right, let's talk about motormobiles, okay? These are new 3-wheeled vehicles, and in the code they are still calling them motorcycles, okay? Even though they are 3-wheeled vehicles. Now, in the code, it is very specific as to what these are. You've seen these, I think it's a Can-Am, what's called. It's a 3-wheel motorcycle, or you've seen a lot of 3-wheel motorcycles. Those are not what they're talking about here. These are actually 3-wheel vehicles that have a cover on them. They have a wiper. They have a lot of the safety stuff that a car has. It is not technically a motorcycle, but it's still called a motorcycle for the purpose of this particular section. These 3-wheeled motormobile type things, but they still call them motorcycles for some reason. They should have called them something else, but they didn't. you do not, to drive these vehicles that we're talking about, they do not have to have a what? A Class M motorcycle license. If you're interested in these deals, you go to the code and you can see all the requirements of what these cars have to, or little motorcycles have to have, but it's not the same as one of those Can-Ams or a big Harley that has three wheels and that kind of stuff. It's actually an enclosed vehicle. Okay. Motorcycle helmet laws. This is confusing. It is against the law to not wear your helmet except if you're over 21, and then you can not wear a helmet. Does that make sense? It's an exception. It's against the law to not have a helmet, but the exception is if you're over 21. All right. Very exciting. Y'all are really having fun, I can tell. All right, let's talk about disabled parking. How many of you handle a lot of disabled parking citations? Oh, man, you're so lucky. There's a few of you. We have a group of citizens in Midland that's all they do. I'd probably be before the Judicial Conduct Commission if I told you what I thought. But anyway, that's all they do, and we handle a lot of them in Midland. And when this says current law, this was drafted back last summer. So basically, this is what the law is now, and we'll talk about it. Basically, the new law, the current law was the old law. This is basically what it is right here. It's a fine of a minimum of $500 up to $750. Okay, this is kind of a pick and choose thing we have here. Second offense, $550 to $800 plus 10 hours of community service. Third, $550 to $800 plus 20 to 30 hours of community service. And then fourth and fifth. But really, House Bill 3095 is what's going to control. We had two bills passed, and they raced to get them, which one's signed first and all that. But this is what's going to be. Fall in there. Yes. It goes with the car. There's a presumption that the registered owner was the driver. Well, you run into a proof problem, sure. I mean, just like any other parking offense. And believe me, when the fine goes up to $500, you certainly have a lot more not guilties than you did back when it was 75. So, just as you know, it's minimum 500. Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, they're there. Yeah. Well, they'd love to be there. Believe me. Okay. Yes, sir. What motivates the people that come and write the tickets? Or that gets the fines raised. Oh, yeah. I think it's there's a specific statute, and for those, and the question is, what motivates these people? There's a specific statute that allows citizens that they get a little bit of training, and then they're allowed to go and write the tickets. So what ours are, it's the Midland also has a Citizens Police Academy, which is kind of they bring in people that want to be police that are elderly or whatever, and, you know, they're never going to be police, but it allows them to kind of get a connection with the police department. So they go through the Citizens Police Academy, and then after that, then their options, one of the options is, you know, would you like to be a disabled parking enforcement officer, and they give them a uniform and a car, and they drive around and write tickets. And it's a great idea, and it's, you know, and really it has cut down illegal parking in disabled parking spots. It has cut down because they write so many tickets. You know, everybody knows about it. But the problem is they're very gruff, and they're very they cause a lot of PR problems. I guess is the best way to put it. And they will block cars in. And I mean, it's... And I you know, the police department doesn't hear about it. I hear about it. I mean, that's kind of the problem. So that's what motivates them. I think they're just kind of, you know, they're trying to be helpful, but they're trying to be police too. All right, House Bill 400, new compliance dismissal for expired disabled parking placards. This one I found a little maybe unnecessary, but maybe I guess it's good to have it on the books. If they renew, they have a placard, and the idea is, used to they didn't expire, and now they do expire as of about 4, 5, 6 years ago. If they have expired, okay, and they get a ticket for having an expired one or one that wasn't any good, they have 20 working days or by their first court appearance, whichever is later. So basically they have a month, 20 days, so they have a month. And it's not expired more than 60 days. They can pay in a $20 administrative fee. It sounds very similar to what? Your registration, your other kind of stickers and all that stuff. Now, I say, here's my deal in Midland. I'll be honest with you. If they are truly disabled and their deal was out of date, I don't really hold them to this 60 days, and I don't charge them the fee. I mean, if they're really disabled, maybe I'm a little nicer than some, but I don't know that there's a statute that said we had to do this. I mean, we had to do this. Yeah. Yeah. Do what now? Yeah, they forget, and you know, and they're not easy to get. I mean, they have to go get their doctor to sign a form and all that. So some of them they put it off and all that. And if they're truly disabled, maybe that's the only area where I'm sympathetic in life. I don't know. So, but that's a new one. All right, driver's responsibility program. Let's talk about that for just a couple minutes. What is this? What do we know it as? Surcharges, okay? This is basically surcharges that go to the state. They're making some changes on it. I suspect the legislature's already talking about changes in 2011, so we'll see next time we meet. We'll probably have some new ones. But the real trick is here, now they've changed it. The drivers, whoop, that wasn't good. It's not going to be the best, but we'll see. Driver's license may not be suspended before the 105th day. Used to, the DPS would suspend it really quickly. They would send out the notice, and if the people didn't respond, then they would suspend it. Well, now they have to have 105 days as a minimum before they can suspend their driver's license after they send the notice. And the procedure to deduct, and they're also developing a procedure to deduct points for good behavior. What that amounts to is on the surcharges, where they get points for moving violations. If they go a year without getting any moving violations, I think it'll deduct off 2 points. So it may, in years 2 and 3, it may save them that $100 that they would have to pay. Okay. They're doing an indigency program. Okay. Let me tell you, when they floated this idea about indigency, if the people are indigent, they don't have to pay the surcharges. Who do you think that was going to make that determination? Municipal court judges. All right, we're going to be dragged in to make the determination on who was indigent and not indigent, which was really problematic because if you made an indigency determination, then that applies to not only that, but to what else? All fines you've assessed. Okay, so we got that killed because that was kind of pretty much a scary one. But they are establishing some kind of indigency program where if the people are indigent, they don't have to pay the surcharges. Now, those are the same people that we've probably seen on a driving while suspended license or driving with the invalid license for about 10 times, too. So anyway, I'm not sure how that's going to work. But all those go into effect on September 1st of 2011. So they're still refining all those. So we'll see if the legislature meets, we'll see whether that actually, how that actually goes into effect. Well, since we've got about 60% that aren't paying now anyway, I'm not sure. Yes? I don't think it's quite that high, but it's a significant amount. Well, we hope not. Okay. All right. As you see, that's it for me. Is there any other questions? If I can ever help any of you in any way, you know, give me a holler. That's fine. And I've enjoyed it. I wish I was hanging around and would see you in the hospitality room, 529A, but I've got to get out of here. But it's always good to be out here. I feel almost at home. I used to come to El Paso all the time. So thanks, and I think you have a break. That's right. Okay, thanks.